Our readings today are from Micah chapter 6, reading the first 8 verses, and then we have one verse from Matthew chapter 5. Micah 6 from verse 1. Listen to what the Lord says. Stand up, plead your case before the mountains, let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, O mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, counseled and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And then turning to Matthew 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And let's just come in prayer before Steve.
Good morning, church. Morning, Steve. I like that. Kind of helps. Good worship this morning. And it's really good to be able to lift up our voice to the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing what he's done for us, he's set us free. He's redeemed us. Can it get any better? I don't think so. Does anybody here forget things? I thought it was just me. And I thought it was actually Robin as well. I have a problem with my memory. And I came across this story the other day. And I thought, this really does apply to myself and my wife. Robin might not be ready to confess it, but she forgets. So the story is, an 80-year-old couple was having problems remembering things. So they went to the doctor and explained about the problems with remembering stuff. After examining them, the doctor says they are physically good, but suggests writing things down to help them remember. That night, while watching TV, the old man got up and his wife asked, "Where are you going?" "To the kitchen," replied the old man. "Will you get me a bowl of ice cream?" "Sure." "So you can remember that?" "No problem, I can remember that." "I would also like strawberries." "You had best write this down, because I know you'll forget that." "I can remember that. Ice cream with strawberries. I would also like some whipped cream on top of that." "I can remember. No need to write it down." He stumps off to the kitchen. This is so me. After 20 minutes, he returns with a plate of bacon and eggs. She stares at the bacon and the eggs for a moment and then says, "You forgot the toast." It is so us. Last night I did it. I just walked in the kitchen, and when I got there, I thought, what do I want? So I end up getting things I didn't want. Today's word is Micah. What an interesting guy Micah was. So we're going to look at it. Not the whole book of Micah, of chapter 6. And I'm going to pull a Tommy here because I'll break this down into two sermons. When I get invited back, we'll start from verse 1 and work our way down to verse 8. But today we're going to stick at the bottom part of Micah, which is always a good place to start. Micah, he was around the same time as Isaiah. And that was about 704 BC, quite a while ago. The theme of the book is the compassionate Lord. I love that. And that's what we're singing today, the compassion of Jesus Christ, how he sets us free, how he redeems us. Christ is revealed in Micah, reference to the Holy Spirit. And so I really encourage you to read Micah. It's like a microcosm of the whole Bible. It's good stuff. Micah's name means who is like Yahweh. Now that's encouraging. Micah confronted Judah's specific sins, including oppression, bribery among judges, prophets and priests, exploitation of the powerless, covetousness, cheating, merchants using deceptive weights, and pride. That sounds awfully like today, doesn't it? I mean, this could have been written, I could have written this morning, because that's where we are in the world today. Any country you look at, we're having the same problems. So, what does the Lord require of you? What does he require of me? I've had Christians ask me that over the years. What do I do? What am I supposed to do now? And I suspect we've all asked that question at some time in our Christian walk. What does the Lord require of me? I can't be looking at other folks saying, you know, what does the Lord require of me? I need to look at the Word of God. Micah 6:8 says, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of us? But to act justly, to love mercy. I love that word. And to walk humbly with your God. I always think mercy, grace, you know, they go together quite well. And sometimes we're like a sponge. We keep taking in grace and mercy. We keep taking it in. But do we honestly give it out to people? I think we don't at times. As believers, we are not left in the dark or uncertainty about what pleases God. We was worshipping today and 1,000 hallelujahs. 1,000 hallelujahs is not enough. We need more than 1,000. We need to come here today, worship God, not just because we like the beat of the song or maybe the words, but because we want to worship God with our heart, in spirit and in truth. There's a huge difference. Through his word, his teaching, and his spirit's guidance, God has revealed to us his standards of righteousness and goodness. He's revealed what he wants from us. He hasn't left us in the dark. We have been blessed with a knowledge of what is right and pleasing in his sight. Not what is pleasing my sight, because sometimes I can look at things outside. I can look at Donald's car and think, oh, I like that. I can be a bit covetousness with that. Not sure about the Mercedes, because you got to plug it in. Don't like it. So the first one God's talking about here is act justly. The first requirement mentioned in Micah 6:8 is to act justly. God expects us to live according to his principles of justice, fairness, and equality. It's his principles, it's not ours. We are called to treat others with integrity, to champion the cause of the oppressed, and to stand against injustice. Acting justly means upholding the rights and dignity of all people, regardless of their social status, race, or background. We are having a huge problem in this country with that. We are called to champion the cause of the oppressed and stand against injustice. It's like when you look at the, because we still follow the news from America, you know, people are just being thrown in jail for their protesting. I know some of it's quite violent, but, you know, there is just no need for it. That is not the way to get justice for anyone. Number two, loving mercy. The second requirement is to love mercy. Mercy encompasses compassion, kindness, forgiveness and grace. And I love that word, kindness. We was in Marks and Spencer's the other day. See, it was going again. We was in Marks and Spencer's in the week, and you know, I think it's about the only free toilet in the whole building there. So I was just going to the toilet, and this old lady was coming out, and I opened the door for her, and she said, "Oh, thank you." I said, "Hey, no problem." She said, "You're very kind." I thought, man, that really resonated with me. I was going to ask her to say it again, but she scooted off. But kindness, how often do we see kindness? How often do we extend kindness to people? And grace, can never have enough grace. It involves showing love and compassion to others, even when they don't deserve it. Have you ever had that situation where you really want to strip somebody off because you think they don't deserve forgiveness? Then we need to start to look at ourselves then. Why do I need forgiveness? Because sometimes I'm not a very nice person, but God forgives me. God desires that we exhibit a merciful and forgiving attitude towards those who have wronged us. Our love for mercy should reflect the mercy that God has abundantly shown us through who? His Son, Jesus Christ. That Jesus went to the cross, and we were singing it today. He went to the cross and he has forgiven me, he has redeemed me, he has set me free. As he has for each and every one of us here today. But let me just say, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord, and Saviour, you really need to speak to one of the elders before you leave. Really important. Number three, walking humbly with God. The third requirement is to walk humbly with our God. Humility is the opposite of pride and self-centeredness. Does anybody here suffer with self-centeredness at times? Well, Dad, our pastor's put his hand up, and our elder. And Tommy, there you go. Self-centered. I can be so self-centered at times. You know, I've had that Land Cruiser on my drive for going on for 10 years now. I've only just started to move it. And I will not get rid of it. But you know, I know one day, because I am self-centered, it will go. I am a very self-centered person. It involves recognizing our dependence on God, acknowledging his sovereignty, and submitting to his will. It is sometimes hard to submit to God's will. God wants to take us in the right direction, and we want to go in the wrong direction. It's a common problem for Christians. Walking humbly with God means surrendering our own desires and ambitions, seeking his guidance in all things, and living in obedience to his word. Who lives in obedience to the word of God? Not one of us. Not one. I thought my wife would put her hand up then, but no. Half. Sometimes, yeah. Not when you're cooking, you know. It is an attitude of humility that should permeate every aspect of our lives. Every step that we take should be in humility. Sorry? Well, you're not going to be invited again. You're right, David. Micah 6:8 is a guide for all believers, revealing how we should live our lives in relationship with God and how we should interact with each other. Isn't that interesting? How we interact with each other. Showing humility to a brother or sister. It reminds us that our faith is not limited to religious rituals or empty acts of worship. As I said earlier on, we don't just come here to sing a song and be merry. We come here to worship the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. That's who we worship. If you come here just to have a sing-song, you're welcome, but you're missing out on an awful lot. You're missing out on that relationship that God wants to have with you. Word of God says, you have not because you ask not. Well, I know as an eldership, we are always asking for the fellowship. We're always asking for each and every one here today. It's a responsibility. And we do it. Because A, we love God, we love Jesus Christ, and we love the people who come in. People who God sends in. Instead, it should manifest in practical ways through acts of justice, mercy, and humility. Micah 6:8 challenges us to examine our lives and align them with God's expectations. What does he expect from me? What do you expect from all of us? Are we demonstrating mercy and forgiveness towards others? Are we walking humbly, acknowledging our need for his guidance and submitting to his will? Does anybody have an issue with submitting to God's will? Not one. Oh, yeah. I know I do. I have trouble submitting sometimes. Ultimately, Micah 6:8 encourages us to live lives that reflect the character of God. People should see Christ in us when we walk anywhere. When we go in the co-op, we should show Jesus Christ. When we go to Bannerman's garage, we should show Jesus Christ. In fact, everybody that comes in front of us, they should be able to see Jesus Christ. There should be something different about us that makes them inquire, what is it you've got there? And that's what happened to me when I got saved. I remember saying, the guy who invited me to church, when I walked in that church, I wasn't saved, he come up and hugged me. And I said, I don't know what he's got, but I want it. And that was Jesus Christ. And that has lasted for a long time now. I still want Jesus Christ in my life because I know my life is better with Jesus than without him. I know that. Ultimately, let me go back. We are called to be a positive change in the world, spreading love, kindness, and justice. By acting justly, loving mercy and walking humbly with our God, we can make a difference in, not only in Dornoch and surrounding areas, but what about the world? Can we make a difference in the world? Again, this is like a little small microcosm of what God is doing in any other part of the world, in any other country. I mean, you probably saw it on the news how when there was worshipping in Minnesota, how the crowd came in and disrupted the service. Don't think it's going to stop in Minnesota. One day it's going to come here. It's going to happen in Dornoch. And what are we going to say? How are we going to react? Are we going to show them Jesus Christ when they come through the doors? I pray that we will. I pray that we will. If we allow these three qualities to shape our thoughts, actions, and relationships, we will live out his purpose in our life. It's always that submitting, isn't it? One thing we have trouble with is submitting, because we know better. But there is another, and what does the Lord require of you, scripture. And I thought this pretty interesting, how it sort of goes in line with Micah. And this is, as I say, another, what does the Lord require of you? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. And this is the kicker on this one. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Great is your reward in heaven. These are not mere suggestions that God is saying. I suggest you follow these Beatitudes. These are what God requires of us today. It's these, like these two scriptures, they come together in harmony of what does the Lord require of you. Three qualities of character to live by: to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Again, this is not suggestions. These are the things that we should be pursuing. When we come here on a Sunday morning, or we get together on a Tuesday night, we're seeking God. That's what we're here for. I want to seek his ways for my life. I want us all, I would like us all, to seek God and be fully committed to following Jesus Christ. We only get one chance at this, guys. We only get one chance. You don't want to get to heaven and God says, depart from me, I never knew you. It's too late to do anything then, isn't it? But I know when he says, why should I let you in? Because then I can say, because I love Jesus Christ. Because he set me free. That's the whole ultimate purpose of our life, is to know Jesus Christ, to know that he set us free, and also that he sets people free who he puts in front of us. And God puts people in front of us no matter where we are. I mean, even though we don't go out very often to get something to eat, God puts people in front of us. Even, you know, the delivery guy, the post office girl. Show Jesus Christ to them. Only get one chance, guys. We get no opportunity to come back and have another go. We don't believe in reincarnation. We believe in resurrection.